It's 16 degrees at 11:06. Coming up on Kincaid and Breckenridge, Dr. Michael Jansen. Breaking news when it happens, our next scheduled update at 11:30. I'm Tony Kang.
News Talk 770 brings you Roger Kincaid. Call at 974-TALK, 974-8255, or text at 770-770.
All right, welcome back. Roger Kincaid, Rob Breckenridge right there. Breaking news on the Bill C-36 front, or as the sex workers call it, Bill C-Dirty Sex.
Yeah.
Find funny. Passed the motion or just moved to cease debate?
I think the motion passed. So the motion passed to end debate, which means a bill to pass the bill or a vote to pass the bill is imminent. So we're pretty much at the end of the road here. Bill C-36 is going to become law in more or less its original form. And undoubtedly, I think we'll be back revisiting this in court. But in the meantime, it will be the law. And the law essentially is we need to save sex workers. That's the whole premise, mm-hmm. that they're the victims of the sex buyers and the sellers need to be saved.
Well, you know, the government's done their role, right? Their duty here. They were told by the Supreme Court, get this thing done by mid-December. You know, they give them that much time. Looks like they're going to meet the deadline.
Well, they said do something.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a case to be made that the government didn't really need to do anything. That, okay, those laws were struck down. We didn't need those laws. We've got other laws to protect people who are underage, people who are legitimately being trafficked or exploited. I don't know that we needed a bill at all.
Well, here's what I've noticed in discussing this, and I'm going to get off my opinion horse for a second here. I mean, you know what I think of Bill C-36 if you listen to this program discuss it before. I think it's garbage. We need to be far more libertarian on this, and frankly, if we're going to say we're going to protect people, we need to do things that actually protect them. But I've noticed that people are largely informed on this discussion in two ways. One, what pop culture gives you the idea of a prostitute is. You know, so women you've seen in movies, basically. And second, what the government's dialogue on what sex workers are. Do you know what I'm getting at here? We've basically learned how to capture the idea of a prostitute in these two ways, none of which are fact-based,
but
none of which are real.
Mm-hmm. Well, to put it another way, if all of a sudden the government made it illegal to pay people to do talk radio, the people who host talk shows are being exploited and need to be saved, so all of a sudden the government came in and said, look, guys, we're here to save you. Mm-hmm. You know, we might say, well, no, hang on a second here, because you know what? We kind of enjoy what it is we do. You know, we don't mind doing this for a living. We think that more or less we've got things fairly well. But, you know, since you're asking, here's some things that maybe we would like to change. We're not asking the sex workers what they think. We're telling them that they need to be saved, but it doesn't seem as though they're telling us that.
It makes me wonder how easy it is, though, to get information from sex workers. Nikki Thomas, when we spoke to her a little while back, she said that these... You know, sex workers who are forced into the business, who are doing it to survive, who are marginalized, they just don't exist in the great numbers that the government wants you to believe. I mean, we've got all these task forces set up across the country, and they're just not uncovering brothel after brothel after brothel. So I don't know who to believe anymore, to be quite frank with you. I have my idea of what a sex trade worker is, but...
Well, that's why this survey, I think, is so important. And I don't know whether the government's going to pay attention to it, but a survey released this week, it was funded by the Canadian Institutes of Health Research, sheds a lot of light on what sex workers think about what it is they do. Dr. Michael Jansen is a scientist with the Center for Addictions Research at BC, also an adjunct assistant professor with the Department of Sociology at the University of Victoria, one of the lead researchers on this. Dr. Jansen, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm not sure that I have much to add to what you already stated. Most of us researchers collect data that supports what you've stated. But we have a lot of data recently that we collected over the last couple of years, so it's very nice of you to be interested in our data.
Well, tell us about this new survey then.
Well, we collected data from sex workers all across Canada. We did interviews, in-person interviews. We collected both the numeric data and we collected their life stories. And we collected them in Calgary. We collected them in Fort McMurray, Victoria, Kitchener-Waterloo, and in Montreal and in St. John's, Newfoundland. And we had just some wonderful interviews with people who did not feel that they needed to be rescued. They had a lot of control over their work, and their work made sense for them in their situation.
Okay, can you elaborate on that a little bit? Can you give us some sort of percentages of women in the sex trade that you spoke to who said they don't need rescuing, they're here by choice, and they enjoy their work?
80% said that they were satisfied with their work, that they liked their work. Okay. None of them said that they needed to be rescued. Most sex workers we spoke to were quite offended by the assumption that the people who did not know anything about their lives thought that they needed to be rescued. Just like what you were talking about earlier, about journalists would be offended if mm-hmm. they felt that somebody said that they needed to be rescued.
But it does stand to reason, though, the ones who would tell you they need to be rescued would be difficult for you to get this information from.
It stands to reason, but we have not found the case. We have collected data from people who sell sexual services in Canada for some 20 years, and we have actually found it easier to collect data from those who are the most marginalized, the most vulnerable of people who sell sexual services. Those are the easiest to reach. We can reach them on the street. They are in relatively close contact with each other, and there are lots of service organizations that cater to that population. That what we think is a very small percentage of all people who sell sexual services in Canada.
But this survey really ran the gamut, right? You talked to women who are in the sex trade, who are on the street. You talked to what we would consider, the high price escorts. You kind of covered it all, didn't you?
We covered it all, and what we found is that there's a great variety of situations for people who sell sexual services, but there's also a great number of people who are somewhere in the middle, between the most vulnerable and the most professional or the most the classier situations, mm-hmm. the one that we see as a high-priced sex worker.
Because I think a lot of people can't fathom that someone would like doing that, and that's where this assumption comes from that they don't want to be doing it either, right? Do people tend to make assumptions about what sex workers think?
I think we all make assumptions. We made assumptions before we started collecting information from sex workers 20 years ago. So a lot of it, I think, has to do with us being uncomfortable with sexuality and people having healthy sexual relationship outside of the situation that we ourselves happen to be in. We have no difficulty with people going to get a massage at some place because they are ill or they feel stressed. We have no difficulty with people going to have their toenails cleaned and, mm-hmm. and cut. But we do have a problem with people feeling that they wanted to get an intimate relationship with someone, even if it's fleeting. And we have difficulty with that, I think.
So, yeah.
And we bring stereotypes and we bring stigma to those who don't obtain that relationship in the ways that we think that it should be obtained.
Yeah, we do tend to inform these conversations with morality. And Rob, you remember a couple of weeks ago bringing up on this program that there was a barber in Toronto who was a Muslim and would not cut a woman's hair because he simply wouldn't touch a woman who wasn't his wife. Hmm. He moralized the act of hairstyling. And we look at that and we go, oh, well, that's just absolutely silly. But when someone says, well, I have absolutely no moral attachment to sexual interactions with people, I don't moralize it the same way, we tend to come down upon that person. So, I mean, I wonder, Doctor, the research you're giving us here and the information that you've collected, how should it be used then to inform prostitution laws in this country?
Well, first of all, I think it should be used to inform prostitution law in this country. The legislators had no interest to find out what our data told us. They were only interested in the data from the most vulnerable and most marginalized of sex workers. So I think that we have very clear and very strong data that suggests or that states that these laws will not make it safer for the vast majority of sex workers in Canada.
So what do sex workers want? What are they saying they need? Because even though they are more or less satisfied in their job and believe that they're adequately paid, there obviously are still issues that they face. There are dangers that they face. So what are they saying in terms of what they do need?
What they're saying that they need is that they'd like to have a safer work environment. So they don't like to work in a place where that's not clean or that is not as open as possible, that is dark. They like to work in places where they can have a much more open conversation with the potential buyer about what service the buyer would like to get and what the buyer is willing to pay for that, and then they could state what service they are willing to provide and what compensation they would like to receive for that service. So the biggest obstacle for sex workers in Canada is the limitation that we place on that conversation currently.
Doctor, it would help if you would take some phone calls from our audience on this one. I think there's a lot of people that are calling in to speak. Would that be okay with you?
Yes, I'd be happy to do that. How long are we talking about here?
Well, we'll take a short commercial break right now, and we'll try to keep you till 11:30 if we can.
That would be great. Thank you. Okay. I have a meeting after that.
Oh, okay. Well, we won't keep you from that.
That's fine.
All right, Doctor. Dr. Michael Jansen is our guest. We're going to put him on hold for a sec. He'll stand by. Scientist at the Center for Addictions Research of British Columbia and adjunct assistant prof in the Department of Sociology.
So
at
that's 10:30 his time. Right, we're not keeping him for another 90 minutes.
That's a good point. Okay. Linda, Stephen, you've called in 974-8255 if you have any questions on this topic, by all means. Yes, we will speak to the professor for at least another 13 minutes. We'll be back after this.
Phone bill, gas bill, school fees, credit card.
Need a break from all those bills?
Take a cash break on News Talk 770. We're breaking up your weekdays with $770 cash giveaways. All you have to do is like us on Facebook or become a News Talk 770 insider to enter. Then listen at 7:45 a.m. and 3:45 p.m. for your name. Call within 15 minutes and you win $770 cash. Our listeners get all the breaks on News Talk 770.
When you're golden, you're great. And when you're the gold standard, you're the best. That's Canyon Creek Toyota. And that's what you can expect during Canyon Creek's Golden Anniversary Sale. Celebrate 50 years of Toyota quality and value by getting your choice of a new Toyota Camry, Sienna, RAV4, Highlander, Tundra, or Tacoma for just $199 bi-weekly with zero down and no payments for 6 months. A golden anniversary means golden opportunities. Only at the place where our people make the difference. Canyon Creek Toyota.
Olympia Liquor's mission is big selection, small price. After the parties are over, it's time to save, so price becomes more important. Head to Olympia Liquor.
Weiser Deluxe Rye, 750 mils, $22.99. Absolute Vodka, 750 mils, $21.99. Apothic Red or White Wine, 750 mils, $10.99. All plus GST and deposit.
And the best part is, even when you get the great selection, the price is still excellent. Olympia Liquor, champion of low prices. Find your nearest location at olympialiquor.ca.
Why does your Team Canada jersey have the number 2X?
It's two times, because SO Extra members get double SO Extra points on eligible purchases and regular grade gas at SO stations.
Plus, four times points on SO Extra grade gas and six times points on SO Supreme grade gas.
And if you swipe your SO Extra card, you're entered for a chance to win a trip to the World Junior Hockey Championship. Yeah!
Visit an SO station to earn double SO Extra points, plus the chance to see the World Junior Hockey Championship in Toronto. Offer ends November 10th. For complete contest rules, visit soextra.com/contest. No purchase entry available. Prize value estimated $10,500.
You work out so you can feel good and look good.
The same reasons people shop at Swimco.
Where back to school means back to pool.
Water workouts make fitness fun.
Lap swimming, aqua fitness, family swim, whatever you choose.
Swimco makes you feel good half naked with every shape and style.
Tight and speedy.
Like me.
Sporty and special or comfy and covered.
Women's and men's, kids too.
Whether you're getting into shape or already there.
Active pool season starts at Swimco.
Or shop online at swimco.com.
Okay, Dodge Grand Caravan?
Grand Caravan, $20,998, clear them all out.
What about Dodge Journey?
$19,998, clear them all out.
Ram 1500?
Let me see, the 2015s are coming, so clear them all out. $27,498.
Every vehicle is clearing out at the All Out Clear Out. On now at your Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram dealer. But they're clearing out fast, so get to your dealer today.
I'm Tony King in the News Talk 770 News Center. Morale among Alberta's EMS workers is on life support, according to a survey that says working conditions have deteriorated over the past 2 years. That story and more coming up in our next news at 11:30.
All right, 974-8255 if you want to talk to Rob or myself, Roger, but primarily, though, to ask questions of Dr. Michael Jansen, who is our guest, and pardon the confusion. We'll keep you till 10:30 Pacific time, if that's okay.
That's fine. Thank you.
Okay. Let's see here. Linda, hi. Go ahead.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. I just have one question that doesn't seem to be coming up in your talk or in your survey, and that is with regard to Fort McMurray being a very possibly a good example of husbands or fathers that are using these services that ultimately affect your family, you know, children, trust issues, on and on and on. And in the whole talk of the rights of these individuals, and, you know, which is, I mean, you have to protect, of course, I'm not disputing that, but nobody's talking about the other effects of the people who would be the other victims of something like this.
Okay, but I'm a little bit confused by your question, though, because the reason this whole law had to be adjusted in the first place, or the reason the laws were thrown out, I guess I should say, is because they were deemed unconstitutional, right? They were a violation of the charter rights of sex workers, security of person among those rights. So how does your question fit into that ruling?
It's tied to the rights of a family to expect ability to have a safe and trusting environment to raise your family and your kids, right? It does. One does affect the other.
Well, okay, and it does. There are all sorts of things that can affect that, Linda, I suppose. I mean, the issue is, specifically speaking, if a single consenting adult wishes to engage in a transaction with a single consenting adult, and that transaction happens to be money for sex, who's the victim? Where's the crime?
All I'm saying is, I'm not disputing that. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is that there's another element to the whole debate or the study,
right, which can apply
that has to be included on, specifically as it relates to a family unit. That's all I'm saying, and I'm not hearing anything about that.
Yeah, I hear you, Linda, and I think that we agree on that. That married men and fathers that use prostitutes are shortchanging their family at home. It goes without saying.
Absolutely.
But I don't know if there's a right though. For the rest of the family to have a father or husband that doesn't cheat. I don't know if that's a charter enshrined right, but we thank you for bringing it up.
It happens in lots of different ways, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
Let's see. Let's go to, is it Leisha?
Yeah.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to ask the researcher, because my understanding is that part of the people or one of the groups that he interviewed were the so-called managers. By manager, do you mean pimp?
Well, that's a very derogatory term on people that manage people who work to deliver sexual services. The vast majority of people who manage those who sell sexual services work in massage parlors or work in small brothels, work in escort agencies.
But who are the managers then?
Can I ask, did you interview these women when they had their so-called managers present?
No.
So they were
always alone.
Yes.
They could always answer independently without fear?
Of course, yes.
Okay. Does that satisfy you, Alicia?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much for your phone call. Much appreciated. Hi, Jody. Go ahead.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I'm really glad you're having this discussion. So I've worked in the sex trade. I did it for the money, and it was great money.
Jody, thank you for phoning in and lending your voice to this, by the way. We've been trying to have somebody from the inside call us and give us this perspective, so I'm very, very grateful that you phoned.
Well, you're welcome. So I have a different perspective, I guess, than some of the people that have called in already.
Okay.
So, for example, I had this client for about 8 years, and he was married. He had a couple of kids. He was in his late 50s when I stopped seeing him. I haven't seen him for about a year. But anyways, his wife wouldn't have sex with him. And so he had a number of working women that he, engaged in intercourse with. There was no sort of emotional attachment. It was strictly sex. But I guess my comment is, so say you've got somebody who's in a relationship with a woman, for example, or a man, whatever, it doesn't matter the gender, and they're not willing or they're unable to make love. Is the other partner expected to never have sex again in their life, ever, ever, ever?
Mm-hmm. But I don't want to make the mistake, though, of characterizing all people that would engage with a sex worker as being unfulfilled at home. There are many guys who still step up.
But my point is that this guy, he was a relatively young guy. I don't know what his situation was at home and why she wouldn't. And that's her choice, but his choice was to still be fulfilled sexually. There's also, I had a client who was physically handicapped.
Mm-hmm.
So what about those people who can't even leave their homes to meet somebody?
Jody, when you listen to Dr. Michael Jansen talk about his research and this study and say that, you know, 80% of people said that they liked the work, that several or many, the majority of sex workers don't feel they need rescuing, do you largely agree with those numbers? Does that represent you?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel that the new legislation, Bill C-36, protects sex workers, or do you think it complicates it?
No, I think it's controlling and preposterous, and my blood boils when I think about it.
Interesting.
Jody, can you hang on the line and confidentially give our producer some contact information so I can reach you later?
Sure.
All right, we'd like to get more. I'd like to learn more from your perspective, to be quite frank.
And okay. I suppose, thanks. Michael, to bring you back into the conversation, I mean, that seems to be a constant theme in what you're hearing from these women.
That's exactly right. I think it's a grave mistake to say that all of the buyers of sexual services are married or in a relationship with somebody. We have one of our colleagues who are part of our team, Chris Atchison, I think you've spoken to
yeah,
him earlier.
Yes,
actually,
we have. Yeah.
Shows that less than half of these the buyers are currently married or living common law, and they say they live in meaningful relationships. Those that are married or in a common law relationship.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great mistake to think that they are unsatisfied at home, or people are not happy with their partner or don't love their partner. I think it's what people are perhaps assuming is that people don't have a open communication at home, and I think that's relatively safe to assume, but I don't think that communication would improve by people being restricted from accessing the services of a sex worker.
Good point. Dr. Jansen, we'll let you go. Thank you so much for making some time for us here.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you for the interest in that study. I appreciate it.
Thanks again. Dr. Michael Jansen at the University of Victoria, one of the researchers involved in putting this survey together. It's an interesting point. I mean, we can take the worst-case example of a married man who's hooking up with prostitutes. What about someone who's, say, disabled or disfigured and faces a life where he'll never have that opportunity with a woman?
You know, I don't think that we... As far as a debate on this bill goes, I don't know if the conversation necessarily needs to go there, what the benefit of having sex workers in society is.
Or the morality.
Or the morality.
This is, yeah, this is strictly speaking, the government says we're here to save these sex workers, and the sex workers are saying, well, we didn't ask you to.
Yeah, and no one wants to challenge that assertion, and that's a real problem, not just for this law, but for any sort of law that we should try to draw. The news to 11:30 is next, and when we come back, that other great debate that's brewing in Canada right now. We'll be right back.
This is good.